Because of listeners like you, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
In the last book that Paul would write and send to Timothy, close to the end, he would say, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped in every good work. The Word of God, the Bible, that's what we call this program, Exploring the Word, because we need the Word of God in our lives. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy each day, Monday through Friday at this time, to come in and just study the Bible. Alex, is there any other book that even comes close to the Bible?
No.
that was a setup, and you answered correctly.
Amen. You know, there's an old saying, many books I read to consider, one book I read to believe. Isn't that a good statement?
Yes.
It's God's Word that we can thoroughly trust. Every word of God is tried and true and trustworthy. I love to read. You know that. One thing about reading the Bible that I found, Bert, is, you know, building a biblical worldview. You want your mind equipped with God's written revelation. That way, when you come across things that are false, you'll know the difference.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love tools. Are you a tool junkie at all, Bert?
I'm not a junkie. I've got some, but no, I'm not like you, Alex.
I love hardware stores. I love tools. And I've got tools that I just don't know that I'll ever even need. I just wanted them. But in a way, equipping our mind, you know, God's Word obviously tells about Jesus and salvation. God's Word talks about heaven and eternity. God's Word, about 30% of the entire Bible is predictive prophecy, you know. Well, and that's very important. But then the Bible talks about morals. The Bible talks about government, economics, a work ethic, healthy conflict resolution, prayer. I mean, so many things. And I believe imbibing God's truth on every possible topic of life, it's like having a well-equipped tool shed. You've got a tool for every situation and every requirement. And that way, Bert, I love to go to bookstores. And, I mean, there's a lot out there that's just revisionist history, woke, immorality, things like that. And I feel like we can eat the chicken and spit out the bones, or maybe I should say have discernment, when we have a mind equipped with God's truth and we are able to, discern between what is true, what is false, what is good, what is detrimental. And that's why we are so big on the Bible. John 17:17, Christ himself said of Scripture, thy word is truth.
Amen. Alex, do you believe that the Word of God is a lamp and a light for our walk and our path? It sounds like you do. And so that psalmist said that a long time ago.
Yes, I love Psalm 119, and you reference verse 105 there. Let me encourage people to read Psalm 119.
Amen.
It's a tribute to Scripture.
It really
but
is.
Verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
That's it.
Let me read a couple here. Psalm 119 verse 130, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And I think about William Lyon Phelps, who was one time president of Yale University. He said, as beneficial as a college degree could be, a Bible education is even better.
Wow.
And amen. So the entrance of God's word gives light or enlightenment. Folks, you want to be wise, not just smart, but also wise. Read, believe, meditate upon God's word. Even verse 97 of Psalm 119, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day long."
Psalm 119, honestly, it might be something we do, but let me give you three other ones here. It's earlier, verses 9, 10, and 11 of Psalm 119. "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Mm-hmm. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." Now, listen to this. "Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." This is the word of God. It is that powerful. It is that strong. And listen, pray for open eyes. Here's what it says in Psalm 119:18. "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things from your law." And what we've been doing, and now going to the word of God today, is the combo, let me, that you need in your life. The Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. Listen, this verse 18 of Psalm 119, make that your prayer. "Open my eyes that I may see you, wondrous things from your law." When you get into the Word of God and you see that, you especially see it over in the New Testament book of John. You know, the great I ams.
Yes.
You see it all the way. But yes, you said it, Alex. The Word of God is good for life. It's good for decisions. It's good for society. How to manage your money. I mean, you can go on and on, your relationship in marriage. But the key, "Open my eyes that I might see wondrous things from your law," the Lord Jesus Christ, "that I might see him." That is the whole idea. And when you see him in the scriptures and you apply those scriptures to your life, it gives you that biblical worldview that Alex and I talk about. So, Alex, I would say this, and I'll throw it back to you. The Bible, the verbal inspiration, we'll go over those terms in a minute. The verbal inspiration of the Bible is a fundamental, I would say, stage, fundamental thought in the Christian life, isn't it?
Well, it really is. It really is. And do you know, so what we're going to talk about for as long as we think the Lord's leading us to for a while, because we did Malachi, we did a study on the Holy Spirit, and Bert and I, we put a lot of time and discussion and prayer into our material. We're going to go over some of the foundations of the Christian faith that are what I would call the core truths, the non-negotiables. And of course, the first and starting point, I believe, is that the Bible is God's word. The Bible is authoritative in every topic that it addresses. And Bert, I believe that the Bible is I remember reading this, the rule, R-U-L-E, the rule for faith and practice for every believer. And so suffice it to say, we have a very, very high view of God's holy word here at Exploring the Word. Now, let me read verses 41 and 42. "Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word." Notice, salvation not according to man's best guess, not how to be right with God according to our speculation. Your salvation according to your word. What does God's word say about how to be right with God? "So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word." Do you know, a lot of being a witness for Christ, growing in the Lord, influencing others, is to have an answer. And that's kind of been what I felt my life's calling was, Bert, to not only Psalm 119:42, but 1 Peter 3:15, to be ready to give an answer. And let me just say this. The origin of the Bible, the preservation of the Bible, what the Bible says, and how it is the infallibly trustworthy revelation from God, we have an answer. And it's, I believe, compelling.
It is. And the Word of God is sure. It is sure. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I know I've used this, and I do apologize for bringing it up once again, but it's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And Alex, if you got a sword, whether anybody believes it's a sword or not, it is a sword.
Yeah.
The Word of God is the Word of God, whether anyone believes it. Now, when you believe the Word of God and you take it as the Word of God, you meditate on it as it is the Word of God, I want to tell you, it does great work in your life. But I just, those that will not leave alone saying, no, it's not, it's just a book of men and anything. No, it is the Word of God. Over 1,500 years of all the books that were written that's in the Bible, 40 different human authors during that period of time, and in agreement over that period of time, that is the power of the Holy Spirit. It reminds me of 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And that scripture that I used earlier, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. Now, it's dynamic. They weren't in a trance. They did not leave their personality at the door. No, God, in a only word I know, a miraculous way, he would guide Peter, Paul, all the authors, and they would write it down. We see the personality of, like Matthew, he was a tax collector. Guess what? Which gospel gives you more numbers than any other of the other?
Matthew.
Luke, a physician. Guess who gives more details in the physical issues of the day? Luke. It's just that amazing that the Word of God is that strong and that powerful. Not that men did it on their own, but it was God-breathed as they was moved along. But God would use even their personality traits to put that in the Word of God, that we see it in such a magnificent way. It's only word I know, it's amazing. Just like His grace is amazing, the Word of God's amazing, Alex.
Well, it is. The Word of God is amazing. And, hey, let me give a couple of scriptures here. Psalm 119:89, which, by the way, Jesus himself quotes this verse, but it says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." In a similar way, verse 152 of Psalm 119, "Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you founded them forever."
Amen.
See, the Word of God does not have an expiration date. And, Bert, if we could go back just a little bit. I became a Christian in the mid-80s when I was 21. And, yeah, I have to say, it didn't take me long to sort of understand kind of the lay of the land. A lot of my professors at college seemed to, you know, mock traditional morals, and even, you know, people like Billy Graham, and certainly in the news back then was Jerry Falwell, the founder of Liberty University. And I mean, many of the professors that I sat under, they were just very, they would denigrate conservative Christian leaders. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the kind of media moments that caused me to want to know truth and defend truth.
Amen. Truth, it's not your truth, my truth. It is the truth, and you find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be back with more right after this break.
America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
That's our King Jesus. That's fantastic music there. Welcome back to Exploring the Word, Alex and Bert. So honored that you're listening. We're beginning a talk about some of the core foundations of the Christian faith. Today is Tuesday, and we always answer Bible questions, but we kind of make Tuesday like a day of prayer as well. And if you've got a prayer request, we would love to agree with you in prayer, and we'll lift it up before the Lord. And the number is going to be in the next segment, and get your prayer request and Bible questions ready, but it's going to be 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And, Bert, I count it just a real honor that, you know, many, many people across this nation, they share very special heartfelt prayer requests, and we pray for each and every one, and mm-hmm. We feel very privileged that we get to share our heart with each other in this way.
We do, and it is a privilege, and we ask you. Also, Brent's over there, and he operates Facebook. If you don't want to get on the radio and you got a prayer request, you can send it to Facebook. Brent keeps an eye on that in the third segment. He shares a little bit about that, so we can get it through Facebook or on the telephone line. So either way, we want that, and we want to pray for you. The neat part is not just you and me praying for them. It is our listeners joining together to do that, mm-hmm. Alex. And so What a day it is. Well, you were starting about your journey into truth. Would you go ahead and complete that? You got me. This sounds new. After 15 years, I think I'm going to find out something new about it.
Well, you know what? It's funny. Just before the show, I went by to see a dear gentleman that is probably not long for this world, a dear Christian brother. And it turns out we knew some of the same people back in the 80s. At one point, when I was in college, I sold cars. And one of the very first people that I ever led to the Lord, and Bert, I wasn't in full-time ministry. I was just a young believer. But I just knew when I accepted Christ, I just right away, I knew people either have Jesus or they need Jesus. And I couldn't help it. I just began to talk to people about the Lord. And anyway, this gentleman I visited with earlier today, way back in the 80s, he knew some of the same people that I worked with at this particular car dealership. And I was able to share the gospel and lead some people to Christ. But I realized there was a battle going on. And I remember a lot of my friends at college that were unsaved, and then a lot of what my professors were saying, and hey, by the way, wokeness and liberalism is nothing new. I was sitting under that kind of teaching 40 years ago. But I just began to go and try to study because I wanted to learn how to present, explain, defend the Christian faith. Present, explain, defend. And I became acquainted with books by people like Josh McDowell and Billy Graham and Charles Colson. And then my mom got a newsletter from a gentleman you might have heard of named Don Wildman. And so I guess it was almost inevitable, Bert, that I would get into apologetics and defending the faith. And that begins really with defending the Bible. Now, Bert, I was watching some show, it might have been 60 Minutes, and there was already in the late 80s a battle about human sexuality, traditional marriage versus homosexuality. And there was an Episcopal bishop, he's passed away. In fact, I'm not even going to give his name because I don't want to give him any PR. But this guy who was basically denying everything holy, he said, and I'll never forget, he said, you must understand, in 25 years from now, there will be nobody left that believes the Bible. Another 25 years, and this traditional Christianity, as Falwell and Pat Robertson and Billy Graham and those guys, 25 years, and it'll be gone and forgotten. And I think about it, now it's 40 years, and that guy is gone and forgotten. And so I'll say this, I'll throw it back to Bert. I think in every generation, there must be what I would call the battle for the Bible. Because you go all the way back to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 3, Satan was trying to lure people away from trust in God's word. And by God's grace, in the 70s, the Lord raised up some people. I think about R.C. Sproul and Norm Geisler, Carl Henry, F.F. Bruce, and they convened in Chicago the International Council on Biblical Inerrancy. And they wrote some incredible documents about defending that the Bible is God's word. Now, when we say verbally inspired, verbal inspiration, that means God gave the very words of Scripture. And I believe that. And I think the evidence is compelling that these aren't the words of man. These are the actual words of God. And they have been preserved. And we can defend that. And there is something called the ICBI statement, called the International Council on Biblical Inerrancy, and they would write this, you know, we affirm that the Bible is God's word. And hundreds of the great leaders of the 70s and 80s would sign it. In fact, Bert, when I worked at Focus on the Family, Dr. Dobson, you know, we had it on there that we subscribe to the Chicago Statement right. on Biblical Inerrancy, that the Bible is God's holy word. And I'll say this, I'll throw it back to you. I think we have to again reaffirm our trust in and defense of the Bible as God's holy word, the faith once delivered to the saints.
Amen. Well said. And it's been going on the turn of the century from 1800 to 1900. A lot of that was going on. It was taking place earlier in German. It had come to root in England, and that battle is fought. But I want to say in Psalm 119 and go a little bit different mode. You know, a lot of us may not have the intellect that some other people have. We may not have the memory that other people might have. I know my memory is in that category. But listen to this passage in Psalm 119, 97 through verse 100. Oh, how I love your law. I just want to tell you, fall in love with Jesus and his word. Mm-hmm. Listen, they go hand in hand. They say, oh, you worship the Bible. No, I worship the God of the Bible. I worship him, but I honor the Bible knowing it is his word. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day long. Okay? So you're reading the word, you're memorizing the word, you meditate on the word. You, through your commandment, makes me wiser than my enemies. Okay? That's a pretty good step. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. I sat in some classes with some teachers, and I had to listen to them. I had to regurgitate some of the stuff they were telling me. But I knew it wasn't true. Darwinian evolution. Mutations usually last one generation, and then they're overcome by the DNA of the next, you know. Just about all 99-something% of mutations are for the detriment of that species rather than the good. And then it says, for your testimonies are my meditation. Now verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Now listen to that, Alex. Wiser than my enemies, you got that? Understanding more than my teachers, and understand more than the ancients of past history. I would say the Word of God being read, memorized, studied, meditated upon, if you want to help yourself to be a better student, to be a better individual, studying the Word, stay in the Word of God. That's that's strong medicine there, isn't it, Alex?
It is, absolutely. Very strong medicine. And, you know, Bert, there was a day when everybody would reconcile their checkbook. Nowadays, I don't know that people reconcile their checkbook, but let me just say, you ought to. But if you had a math error, you know, I got to tell you, when Angie and I were first married, she taught me how to reconcile a checkbook, really. And it was just so gratifying to find that last penny. And if we had a math error, which was usually my fault, we'd go back and find out where the error was introduced. And sometimes you have to go back 30 days. And if you want to get the bottom line right, you've got to find out where the error was and reconcile. Now, Bert, let's go back. And there's a lot we could say, but I'm going to be brief. Coming out of England in the early 1800s, there was the idea of evolution, not special creation. And let me just say, I categorically reject evolution. And he wasn't the first, but the guy that really brought it to global attention was Charles Darwin. And in 1859, he published On the Origin of Species. And by the late 1800s, the beginning of the 20th century, 1900, I mean, the academic world was kind of shaken up, because there was the assumption if biological life evolved, well, then we don't take what the creation of Genesis 1 and 2 says. And then they said, well, maybe if life evolved, maybe morality evolved. Maybe marriage isn't necessarily between a man and a woman. Maybe that's just some meaningless social accident. And maybe even religion evolved. So do you see the dominoes falling? As there was an abandonment of what God's Word says about our origin, there was an abandonment of what God's Word says about our life's purpose and our destiny. And I mean, it didn't take long. By, you know, the early 1900s, they were like, well, if the Bible is wrong about our past, how do we know the Bible is right about our future? And so now it took a good 75 to 100 years to trickle down to street level. But Bert, really, even by World War I, and certainly by the post-war era, I'll just call it theological liberalism, had infected so many schools, so many seminaries, so many denominations, so many churches. Now, here is some good news, and in a way, Bert and I are going to take a jumping off point from a set of books that was published in 1917. Out of Moody Church in Chicago came a man named R.A. Torrey, Reuben Aaron Torrey, T-O-R-R-E-Y. And he was a disciple of Jesus, but he was mentored by D.L. Moody. And he eventually went to California and started Biola University, Christian University. But they, to respond to the growing theological liberalism, And by the way, let me say, Darwinian evolution is utterly false, but the detrimental effects of it linger to this day, and I'm being very brief here. But they published a 5-volume set of books, and they sent it to thousands of pastors, and I had an original set of these books. I gave them away to a friend. But basically, R.A. Torrey was, in 1917, so we're talking more than 100 years ago, trying to say, look, the Bible is God's Word, period. But here's how we're going to defend it. Jesus Christ is deity, God the Son, and we must defend it. The atonement. Our sins are paid for by Christ and Christ alone on the cross. Jesus rose from the dead. That proves who he was and what he taught. And creation. And, you know, they made a powerful defense of biblical creation in 1917, and we've had 109 more years of evidence come along even since then. But Bert, I think these let's call it the Big Five, the Bible and Christ and salvation, and you know, who is God, how do we know him, and what the Word of God says about our origin, purpose, destiny. We've got to reassert these for this 21st century generation.
We do, and here on Exploring the Word, you get that because we don't necessarily tell you all these things every day, but because of those beliefs of the verbal inspiration of Scripture, knowing that salvation is only through Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, rose again, ascended to the Father, and he's coming back, because of those great foundation truths, when we look at the Word of God, Genesis through Revelation, you get it from that biblical worldview. And that's the reason I think you can trust this. We're reading from Psalm 119. I want to do one more. Verse 104, Alex says this.
Amen.
Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Mm. Any way that would lead you away from the truth of who Jesus Christ is, understanding who he is, understanding what the Bible says concerning our lives, our salvation, God's purpose for our life, I hate every false way. Now, what he doesn't say, I hate those people. He said, I hate those ways that would lead people into destruction. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And they try to do that with the Word of God. And when they do that with the Word of God in some people's mind, listen, they go astray. But it is settled in heaven. Thy word, you need to understand it. It's been given to us. So when we read Genesis through Revelation, listen, you're reading God's word to us. Someone has called it, Alex, as we get ready to go into the last segment, God's love word, love language to us, his letter of love to us. It really is a letter of love to avoid every false way and go the way, and that the only way is through Jesus Christ, isn't it?
Amen. I love verse 93 of Psalm 119. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life.
Amen.
I love the way the King James renders it. I will never forget.
It's been 4 years since the overturn of Roe, but tragically, abortions have continued to rise. Today, the abortion pill accounts for more than 60% of all abortions, and last year alone, over 1.1 million babies lost their lives. That's why the work of Preborn Network Clinics is more urgent than ever. Every day, mothers facing unplanned pregnancies walk through Preborn's doors searching for hope. Instead of pressure and fear, they're met with love. Through a free ultrasound, mothers meet their baby for the very first time.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Just $28 sponsors one ultrasound. $140 helps rescue five babies. To donate, dial hashtag 250 and say baby. That's hashtag 250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/Bert Harper. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees well out the floor. Don't stop believing.
Amen. Because of that song, we know it's the day of prayer. And that, now, every day we can pray and take prayer requests, but on Tuesdays we make it a priority. And we still want your questions, and we'll try to get to them as well. But we just sort of like prayer meeting at church. You know, we call it prayer meeting, but Bible study sometimes is what to do. Let's make prayer a priority here on Tuesdays, and that's what we try to do on Exploring the Word. So, Alex, I know we just it's a day of prayer. We went into the second promotion that 3 minutes a little surprise, but it's still good and we're on time. So let's go Amen. To the phone lines.
Yes, again, that number is 888-589-8840. We begin in Virginia. Susan in Virginia, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. Thanks for calling. What you got today, Susan?
Well, first, I have really been struggling with a comment that was made on the program last week from a caller about answering the question why people hate the Jews. I definitely don't hate them, and I have loving Jewish neighbors. But and I hopefully will be able to go on the Israel trip that's been rescheduled with AFA. That's my prayer. But
yes,
in Matthew 27, the person that called in said that the reason that there's hatred is because the Jews said, let the blood, at least my New King James says, let the blood be on us and our children. That doesn't mean that they're condemned or that we're supposed to hate them, because we wouldn't have a lot of our New Testament. They were written by Jews. Paul was a Jew. The disciples were Jewish. Luke wasn't, but, you know, they were all Jewish. And God, I just believe the whole Bible, not just the New Testament, and God says that we're to bless the Jews. And so I was just left feeling like, okay, that's another excuse that, I mean, unfortunately, there are many Christians who feel that way. They hate Israel. They don't want us to help them. And I just was disturbed by that and wondered if you could not only pray for that, but maybe give me some encouragement about it.
Well, God bless you. Yeah, the Matthew 27:25 bird, I've always... I have a hard time even reading that. It's a very sad thing that some of the crowds there were shouting what they shouted. But here's the thing. The Romans carried out the execution of Christ, and it's true that the Jewish religious leaders, the Pharisees and Sanhedrin, helped lead up to it. But all true Christians who really know their Bible love the Jewish people, and we wish ill to no one. And we recognize how the book of Genesis and elsewhere it says God will bless them that blesses Israel and curse those who curse Israel. And so it's through the Jewish nation that came Jesus. It's through the Jewish people that came our scriptures. And Psalm 122, verse 6, 122, 6, says that we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So, Bert, in no way does the death of Jesus justify anti-Semitism or anything like that. In fact, it was all of our sins that put Christ on the cross. And so hatred of the Jews to any degree is absolutely unacceptable.
That is so true. Pilate was a Gentile. The Roman soldiers were Gentiles. Yes, the Jews, they were involved in it. It is. When they said those words, his blood, I'm going to go ahead and read them. I agree with you, Alex. Hard to read. His blood be on us and on our children. With all my heart, I do not believe it's the exact same crowd that was there when Jesus came in on the triumphant entry. They had time. The Pharisees, they had time to get their crowd there before Pilate so they could, get them to say this. Mm-hmm. And so with all my heart, it's that they did. It was manipulation for them to say that. When they said that, I don't believe it was a curse put on them forever. I believe it was them, with their being controlled and bitterness being put in their heart, that they would say these words, but it wasn't like a curse that lasts all generations. I don't buy that either.
God bless you, Susan. Tell you what, we got a full board of calls. I'm going to try to get as many prayer requests as we can. Jade from Tennessee. Jade, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to share a testimony real quick. My husband and I were recently referred to a fertility clinic in Memphis, Tennessee, and we were kind of struggling with that decision because we just want to make sure we honor God with all that we do. I was in Sunday school the Sunday before we were supposed to go to the appointment, and the lesson was out of Hosea. And about the middle of the lesson, my mom spoke up and asked the class to pray, remember us for our appointment in Memphis. And no longer than those words had left her mouth, I looked down, and the word Memphis was in the Bible. It was in Hosea chapter 9, so that stood out to me very clearly. I didn't even know the word Memphis was in the Bible. I went down a few more verses, and there was a verse that said, and this is paraphrasing, but give them what, O Lord? Give them a miscarrying womb. And it was immediate to me. I nudged my mom, and I was like, I can't go to Memphis. I think that people who are listening to this and don't have the Holy Spirit are probably listening to me thinking that I'm crazy. But I just can't believe that God, I mean, I can because he's God, showed me those verses the way he did. And I would have felt foolish if I had to continue to go to that appointment.
Well, Jade,
and so yeah. I wanted to share that. And if you could, just remember couples yeah. who are struggling because it's hard. It That's is. All. Thank you.
God bless you.
We're going to pray for you. Alex, go ahead, brother.
Let's pray. Father God, we know there are so many couples now and really throughout history that have wanted children, and they dealt with infertility. I know we've got a show on AFR that ministers to that subject. And so, Lord, I pray for Jade and her husband. Lord, bless them. Bless this woman with such a tender heart for your word. And, Lord, I pray that if it be your will, that they will have children either naturally or maybe even by adoption, which is such a wonderful picture of the gospel in itself. So we need families. We need godly families. Give us husbands, wives, and children that can be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we pray you'll comfort Jade and be with her at this time and bless her for her trust in you. In your name I pray, Lord. Amen. We're going to Jacob in Michigan. Jacob, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just about every day I pray for over 200 people or so for their salvation. And it's a lot. You know, it gets pretty hard to do just with the weight of all of these people, you know, that God's put on my heart. And so I just want to, obviously I can't name them all to you guys right now, but I just want to pray for them. Yeah. You know,
God bless
together
you.
With other believers.
And so you pray for like 200 different names by name, right?
Yes. Yes.
That is wonderful.
Wow.
Do you know what? I had a friend, I've told this story many times. He owned a hardware store. His name was Charlie Plummer. He's in heaven now. And Bert, he prayed from like 5 a.m. to 6:30. And he told me, this was about the year 2015, and he had not missed a morning since 1964. So, Jacob, God bless you. And we just, the God knows those names. We agree with you for those people to get saved. And maybe somebody listening, you want to take up the great work of intercession. What a wonderful thing. Barbara from Louisiana, you've got a prayer request too. What is it, Barbara?
Yes, sir. And thank you for serving the Lord through this ministry and taking my call.
Bless you.
I have a prayer request for, thank you for, a son, a friend's son. His name is Charlie. He's 30 years old, and he has stage 4 colon cancer, which has spread to the liver. But praise God, we learned yesterday they can save his liver. So I'm asking for prayer as he recovers from surgery and starts chemotherapy tomorrow.
For stage 4. Wow, thank you. And that's Charlie. Bert, would you pray, you know, all the prayer requests for the unsaved people and then for Barbara's friend Charlie battling this stage 4 colon cancer and this liver issue, that the liver would be saved. Would you pray, Bert?
Father, in your name, in your power, in your authority, we come to you. We've studied that in Psalm 119, again and again, the power that you have, that we realize and know that you're the author. And Father, we're trusting you. And for Jacob's friends, those 200 friends, you know who they are. Father, Jacob has 200. You have millions that you know each one by name. But Father, there's something about someone, quote, with skin on, a human being that follows Christ, to come alongside of you, God, and agree with you that they need to be saved. And I'm praying for these 200, God. Start right now. Work in their heart, wherever they are, whatever they're doing. And I pray you would intervene. I pray, Father, you'd bring believers into their lives that would draw them to you with their life, their choices. And, Father, that they would be turned toward you. I pray for this. Thank you for Charlie. And, Father, I pray for Barbara. Thank you for her being someone that knows the power of prayer and would ask us to pray for Charlie. Father, 30 years old and having this cancer. But, God, we got the good news that that liver can be saved. And we're praying right now that whatever treatment is needed, whatever needs to be done away with, whatever needs to be added, God, that you would do that in Charlie's life and give him extended time. You've done that for individuals in the Bible. You can do it for individuals here in 2026. And I pray this for Charlie in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Let's go to Lorenzo in, I believe it's Louisiana. Lorenzo, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, welcome, brother.
Thank you. My prayers for my ex-wife. She had liver cancer, but it's in remission. They had taken out her gallbladder, but it's taken a while. Over about 3 months for her to recover. She's still having different kind of issues, but so please pray her for a speedy recovery.
Amen. We surely will. And God bless you for caring about your wife, your ex-wife, and her health issues. And before we pray, we might have time for one more call. It's 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Bert, I got a letter yesterday from an inmate in Texas listening, and he's probably listening right now. He appreciates the show. And anyway, he's just got some theological questions about salvation. And so, Bert, could we also pray? I know we have many, many listeners behind bars and just many Christians incarcerated, and it's not always easy to live out the Christian faith in that context. But folks, we read every letter, we pray for every letter, and we're lifting all of you, the body of Christ behind bars. We're praying for them too, aren't we, Bert?
We really are, and we take it seriously. So let's pray. Time's running out for prayer, so we're going to do this. Lorenzo, your ex-wife, we're praying, and the inmates. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for this lady. Lorenzo he's called in asking us to come alongside him and pray for her. And the recovery that she's had is taking a long time. They still have hope. And Father, I pray that you would bring it about. Give her the treatments that are needed, whatever is needed to add to her, so that this recovery, and I pray they would live a life that would be glorifying to you and give you praise. Father, for the inmates that listen, and we do have a lot that are incarcerated. We hear from them, and Father, some of them are gathering around the radio right now as a group, studying your word and praying with us. Father, let them know that Paul was in prison. Now, his was completely unjust, but God, we've got the Bible, and they were written from behind prison bars. That's the power of God, and you can intervene and go behind these bars and minister to these men, these women that are listening, and in the name of Jesus, we're praying that you would just strengthen them, give them what is needed to live for you each and every day, that people would see Christ in them. This is our prayer. This is our hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I ask everybody to pray for me. I'm on a plane to Florida to one of our summer camps. And so through Friday, I'll be with teenagers and we'll be teaching the gospel down in Florida. But Bert, I've got the microphone with me. And good Lord willing, we'll be doing Exploring the Word from youth camp in Florida.
Amen. There was an old, this is going way back. There was a Western on when Westerns rule television called Gun Will Travel. Alex's is Microphone Does Travel. And Alex, we'll be praying safe trip and a great, great week there in Florida for youth camp. We're praying for those who are listening. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Thank you for listening to AFR and its program. And we ask that you would give God the glory and honor with your life.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.